Hello and welcome to From the Top, where outstanding young musicians come to play. We just heard the second movement of Mozart's irresistible Eine kleine Nachtmusik, played by the Sylvan Quartet. Noah Chung Eagleman, age 16, on cello, Nicholas Yu, 17, on violin, Laurentia Wu, 16, also on violin, and Jisung Kim, 17, on the viola. They're all from the greater New York area. We're coming to you today from New York City at the iconic Power Station Studios at Berkeley, NYC. Today we're going to hear a violinist who views his internship in a science lab exploring regenerative cartilage as just another aspect of his musical pursuits, and a Schubert impromptu played with utter personal conviction. Now let's meet the members of the all-star Sylvan Quartet, whose rendition of Eine kleine Nachtmusik made me feel like I was hearing the piece for the very first time. I got to give a special shout out to Noah here, who's a From the Top alum. We played together 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
It's so great to see you just continuing to blossom as a cellist. Welcome back to the show.
So great to be back.
You all are so unified as a group. Laurentia, tell me about how you chose Eine kleine Nachtmusik.
Our group started because we wanted to be in a quartet where we toured nursing homes and rehabilitation centers. Those people are pretty old and, you know, they want something they can recognize.
I mean, what are some of the challenges of playing a piece that is so well known? And on the flip side of that, what are some of the joys? Jisung, what do you think?
One of the difficulties of playing a piece that's so established in the canon is that it can be seen as overplayed.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the joys is that we can find ways to make it unique, find ways to make it interesting, like using our own voices, our individual personalities, as well as a group unity. That'll make it a performance that's never been heard before.
Anything to add, Nicholas?
What was really fun was we do this exercise called LBAD, which stands for Live, Breathe, and Die. And basically, we literally live, breathe, and die for one member of the group. Whatever articulation they're doing, whatever like musical idea they're trying to portray, we really try to like emulate what they're expressing. And so we go around the entire quartet and play for each other. We really get to be sensitive about how each performer is trying to convey a certain idea or environment in that section.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're playing as a group, we have that information in our back of our heads and maybe make slight adjustments to form a cohesive sound.
It's really exciting for me to hear you talk about live, breathe, and die because this is a concept that I learned when I was your age studying chamber music. And we learned that from Mary Peckham, who some of you learned it from. And she learned that concept from the Cleveland String Quartet. So there's just this wonderful sense of ideas getting passed down from generation to generation. Talk to me about the joy of chamber music.
I'd say there is this perception or like stereotype in Mozart that he tends to allocate a lot of like the eighth notes or the bass lines that don't move as much or there aren't as melodious to the cello.
Mm-hmm.
But that experience gives me some insight into like the larger picture of what's going on in the music,
mm-hmm.
and being able to support them without necessarily being in the spotlight 100% of the time.
Yeah,
I think that honestly brings more enjoyment to me.
I want to go back and listen to how many different ways you played the note C, Noah. You played that note, I don't even know how many hundreds of times in that piece, and each one had its own direction, its own character, and you did that beautifully.
Thank you.
What I love about watching you all work together is you get along as people, obviously, you enjoy hanging out, but the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Noah Chung Eagleman, Nicholas Yu, Laurentia Wu, and Jisung Kim, all teenagers from the greater New York area. Our next musician is Sua Jun. She's 15 from Creskill, New Jersey. She's got her flute in hand, and I'm here at the piano, and together we're going to perform the Nocturne and Allegro Scherzando by Philippe Gobert. Sua, let's take it from the top.
Yes. Thank you.
Sua Jun, 15 years old, from Creskill, New Jersey, performed Nocturne and Allegro Scherzando by Philippe Gobert with yours truly at the piano. Sua Jun, you just blew us away with that performance. I loved playing with you. So you're from the greater New York area, right?
Yeah, Creskill, New Jersey.
But let's be real, you're a citizen of the world. Tell me a little bit about your biographical journey.
So I was born in Virginia, Fairfax, and I then moved to Philippines and then Korea, and then I started the flute in Korea.
And how old were you at that point?
I was 7.
Wow. Uh-huh.
And after that, I moved to America to get better education.
Uh-huh. So how long have you been here in the U.S. since coming from Korea?
About 5 years. And I started Juilliard pre-college when I was in 5th grade.
Wow. Were you like the youngest one in your group joining at pre-college?
Yes, in my studio. I still am the youngest.
Wow. Sua, I have to congratulate you. You just advanced in a big competition. What's it called?
The Geneva Flute Competition. Today, it got announced that I moved to the semifinals.
Just today?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Like 8 people were selected out of the 40 candidates.
Wow. I knew that you had advanced. Maybe it was to the preliminary round or something.
Yes.
So just today you found out you made it to the semis.
Yes.
Does that mean you're going to Geneva?
Yes.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Excited for it?
Yes, I'm very excited for it.
You should be at just 15 years old. And there'll be people from all over the world there competing on the international stage. I wish you all the best there.
Thank you.
What do you love about the flute?
It's just who I am now. I just think of myself as a musician now instead of just a student learning an instrument.
Yeah.
As a student, I have duties to do, like studying for high school and stuff.
Yeah.
But when I play the flute, it just helps me focus on this one thing, and I could just do what I like, you know.
You see yourself as a musician. How would you describe your instrument as if you were describing a friend, like as if it were a person?
My instrument has been like my best friend since I was 7 years old. And I just couldn't let go of it. It listens to my problems, and it listens to my emotions. So I think I could explain it as a very listening instrument.
It's a dependable friend. It's always there for you. What are the biggest challenges you've faced in your life, and how has the flute gotten you through those moments?
I did face some problems in academics. I lost a lot of friends because I didn't have time to hang out with them due to my performances mm-hmm. and recording schedules.
Mm-hmm.
I just realized that if I like what I'm doing, then I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah.
So,
do you envision a future where the flute can actually ultimately bring you new friends?
Yes, definitely. I met a lot of friends through the flute that really understand and go through the same thing as me, like yeah. balancing academics and music right. at the same time is not that easy. And I can say that for everybody else
totally.
Out there. So being able to understand that,
uh-huh.
yeah, flute has brought me a lot of good friends.
Sua, thank you for performing with me today. It was really a privilege to play with you.
Thank you so much.
Sua John, 15 years old, from Creskill, New Jersey, really from all over the world.
Support for NPR comes from the station and from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need, jkcf.org. From BritBox with Archie, based on the true story of Hollywood icon Cary Grant, a new original drama starring Jason Isaacs. Archie, now streaming at BritBox.com/NPR. And from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people at WTGrantFDN.org.
We're back now with Kento Hong, a 17-year-old violinist from Scarsdale, New York. I'm Peter Dugan, and I'll be performing at the piano with Kento. We're going to play Fritz Kreisler's Slavonic Fantasy, based on themes by Dvorak. Kento, are you ready to do this?
I am.
I can't wait. Let's take it from the top.
All right.
Thank you.
Fritz Kreisler's Slavonic Fantasy, based on themes by Dvorak. Kento Hong, 17 years old. After a performance like that, I have to ask, what is it that you want people to know about you as a musician and also as a person?
I'm a very passionate, very directional player, as in I always like to see where the melody takes me. Just getting to understand the context of the piece and see how the melodic lines just thrust you into a new dimension. And being able to indulge in that is such an important aspect to my playing. So I definitely like having pieces that allow me to express that fully.
I totally get that from you. This inexorable through line of melody that when you are that committed to what you're doing, the audience has no choice but to be stuck to you like glue. We have to be at the edge of our seat because of your conviction. That's the kind of player you are. It's beautiful.
Thank you so much.
But how about as a person? What do you want people to know about Kento?
I also do enjoy a lot of sports. I like to hang out with my friends, and also I like to indulge in interdisciplinary studies, as in how can I relate STEM and humanities into musical playing?
Okay, there's a lot to unpack there. Sports, hanging out with friends, science, technology, humanities. What does it mean to you to be a well-rounded person like that? Why is that important?
I think it really goes back to storytelling. A storyteller should have tricks up his sleeve, her sleeve, and the full knowledge and the context to be able to represent whatever we have. Interdisciplinary studies allows us to integrate different things from different perspectives. Yeah. And that really helps me to craft my own playing. And that's why I value the idea of this horizontal thinking.
Okay, STEM.
Yeah.
Science, technology, engineering, mathematics. Where is your interest there, and what does it do for your musical life?
One aspect of STEM is the idea of scientific thinking. Mm-hmm. Music is also a form of science. We always ask questions, how can we improve the way we play a certain passage? And we just do observations, like just the general bow direction, the phrasing, the texture, the vibrato, right? Mm-hmm. There's so many aspects of violin playing that we could always tweak and adjust. Mm-hmm. And that's the independent variables that we can change. That's so fascinating to me.
The scientific approach to thinking about technique and the bow and all those things, how do you find the balance between the head and the heart?
I think intuitive thought should be coming first, and laying out the groundwork for what you want to do. We want a certain vibrato or a certain texture. That intuitive thought allows us to pinpoint what we want to do exactly. But from there on, we could use that scientific process to adjust how we want to fine point that. And I think that's what the interdisciplinary idea is coming from.
Within the STEM fields, where have your studies taken you?
I'm doing right now a research internship at Columbia doing regenerative tissue studies.
Whoa,
so essentially what it is that we're looking at cartilage, and that is very, very important for us musicians and also for sports individuals. Cartilage is this basically soft tissue that allows us for all of this lubrication for our joints. And if we lose that, we have arthritis, that it makes it really, really difficult for us to play our instruments. I try to see that form of interdisciplinary study to provide healthcare and support older musicians that might be facing struggles in terms of arthritis, and finding a way to either cure or prevent the detrimental side effects of it.
Wow. We need people who understand the inner workings of the science and also are passionate about the music.
I think right now my biggest passion obviously would be music, and in fact, all of the subjects that surround it always come back to support music rather than being all separate, independent subjects.
I'm very happy that you see music being at the center and the other things enriching your musical life.
Right.
Because I think the world of your playing, I really do.
Thank you.
Kento Hong, a 17-year-old violinist from Scarsdale, New York.
Thank you so much.
Support for NPR comes from the station and from the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency connecting young people with the arts in schools and in their communities. Learn more at massculturalcouncil.org. From BritBox with Archie, The Man Who Became Cary Grant, a new original drama following the rise of a Hollywood icon. Archie, now streaming at BritBox.com/NPR. And from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.
Welcome back to From the Top, where outstanding young musicians come to play. I'm your host, pianist Peter Dugan. It's great to be with all of you this week and every week, thanks to the generosity of Susan and Gerald Slavitt. We're here in New York City today, recording at Power Station at Berkeley, NYC. This city is truly a Disneyland for young musicians looking to hone their artistry at places like my alma mater, the Juilliard School, or across the street, Special Music School in the Kaufman Music Center, and the very famous LaGuardia High School for the Performing Arts. Our next young musician, 17-year-old percussionist Daniel Perez Ponce, is one of these lucky students who gets to attend LaGuardia. He's here with me now, and he's about to perform the second movement of Gordon Stout's Two Mexican Dances. Thank you. Daniel Perez Ponce, 17 years old, performing on the marimba for us, the second movement of Gordon Stout's Two Mexican Dances. For our listeners who can't see it, describe the workings of this beautiful thing.
So there's bars on it, and there's also resonators under the bars.
And what about the mallets?
There's many different types of mallets, like the ones I use, they're for vibraphone, since I've never really had any actual mallets for marimba.
Oh, I see. And this piece was a four mallet piece?
Yeah, four mallet.
How does it work navigating two mallets per hand? Because, I mean, the space between them is constantly changing.
Mm-hmm. So for me, it took a lot of effort because I started off with the burn grip. My teacher wanted me to use Steven's grip. And for me, it felt weaker on my hands than with the burn grip.
Okay, I'm a newbie. Tell me, what's burn grip? What's Steven's grip?
So the Steven's grip, you have one mallet on your pinky and the finger next to the pinky. And you hold another mallet like in the middle of your hand and you wrap your other three fingers around it. With the burn grip, it's basically just cross grip. But one of the mallets, it's under the other one.
So how did you find your way to the marimba?
In elementary, I found my way to a program called the Afro Latin Jazz for Kids.
Okay.
And I started on drums.
Nice.
And in middle school, I found out about mallet percussion.
So at that point, you hadn't played any pitched percussion instrument?
No.
Had you been reading music before that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had to teach myself how to read notes in sixth grade. The teacher started me on Glockenspiel.
Oh, bells. Nice.
Yeah.
And then did you continue your studies privately after you started?
I didn't get a private teacher until I was in my junior year of high school.
Whoa. So just last year is when you started private lessons?
Yeah.
Wow. Daniel, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Because you sound so polished. So you've got an enormous instrument there. You can't exactly cart that around on the subways.
I usually get most of my practice sessions done at LaGuardia during my lunch periods and my free periods.
That's the kind of commitment that it takes sometimes. Talk to me a little bit about life at LaGuardia. What's the culture like there?
The basement is where most of the musicians reside in.
Okay.
Yeah, so I see people just talking about music and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just like this part of the hallway where it's just like vibraphones and marimbas just like out in the hallway.
Do people just jam in the hallway?
Yep.
Wow. You know, I went to high school with, there are very few musicians at my school.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it was hard for me to feel like I really fit in.
Yeah.
At LaGuardia, it must be sort of validating to feel like, oh yeah, there are a lot of people like me.
Yeah.
You're one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artists.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We're so happy to be supporting you and supporting your career.
Yeah.
What do you plan to do with the funds?
I'm going to buy a marimba.
I like it. I'm going to buy a marimba. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for letting me in on some of the secrets of marimba playing. I loved your performance.
Thank you.
Daniel Perez Ponce, 17 years old, from Brooklyn, New York. Joining me now is Ellie Fadley Solars, 13 years old. She's got her cello ready. I'm Peter Dugan, and I'll join her at the piano for a performance of Poema 3 by Marlos Nobre. Thank you.